A lot of what society is putting pressure on us, judgment, separate, competition. The first law is the law of divine oneness, where everything is connected to everything else. It's the law of motion. Nothing is separate, right? We are not separate beings. Everything we do has a ripple. We're kind, it has a ripple. We're unkind, it has a ripple. What we think, say, do, and believe has a corresponding effect on others and the universe around us. You know, it's like dropping that pebble in the water and having the ringlets radiate outwards. Have you ever felt, if you walk into a room, you feel somebody's joy and light? Or have you been so empathetic when you feel somebody else's pain? Hello, and welcome to A Call for Love. I believe the most powerful gift you can offer yourself is to give and receive love more freely. I'm your host, Linda Orsini, meditation guide and spiritual coach. Everyone has the desire to be seen, heard, respected, and loved. The journey to becoming more connected to your greater purpose lies within the ability to live from the deep source of love within you. Let's begin. Welcome back to A Call for Love. And if you're new to A Call for Love, you're going to really enjoy today's message because we're going to talk about the hidden rules that are secretly shaping your life. You may not know it, but these secret rules, which are actually universal laws, according to Hermetic philosophy, are actually responsible for creating some of the patterns that are repeating in our life. And, you know, it gets to be a very serious thing when you keep on repeating. I had a friend, he used to say, you repeat what you don't repair. And sometimes it needs us to really understand our behaviors and our consciousness in order to know what we're repeating, in order to repair it. And these 12 universal laws will help us dive deep into that. Now, there's this little book. It's black with gold writing called the Kabbalion. It's Hermetic philosophy, and it's the three initiatives. This is a little book that I've read, well, I try to read, and then I put it down, and then I pick it up again, and then I put it down. It's not necessarily a super easy read, but it's well worth diving into because it really shares about a philosophy or a sacred wisdom that is passed down through the ages. It began in ancient Egypt and Greece and is often called a messenger of deeper knowledge and wisdom. It's not a science, but this may really ring true. I do believe there could be scientific reasoning in this, but really it's ancient wisdom. And I'm going back to all these ancient texts and teachers, because the human condition, the human experience really hasn't changed. You know, our heart breaks just like it did 2,000 years ago and before. I feel like the human experience, our thoughts, feelings, and sensations are continuing and continuously dictating our life. And in order to kind of get a hold of them, to have a deeper understanding of who we are and how we're relating to the world, requires some foundation. And for me, this has been foundational, these 12 universal laws. I will go through each one of these universal laws, and I'll just give a little bit of sharing. Just see how it lands in your heart and in your mind. See how they resonate within you. Now, the first law, which is so interesting, and it goes against a lot of what society is putting pressure on us, judgment, separate, competition. The first law is the law of divine oneness, where everything is connected to everything else. It's the law of motion. Nothing is separate. Right? We are not separate beings. Everything we do has a ripple. We're kind, it has a ripple. We're unkind, it has a ripple. What we think, say, do, and believe has a corresponding effect on others and the universe around us. You know, it's like dropping that pebble in the water and having the ringlets radiate outwards. Have you ever felt, if you walk into a room, you feel somebody's joy and light? Or have you been so empathetic when you feel somebody else's pain? You know, watching the news, my heart just drops all the time, hearing of other people's suffering. Well, that's the rule of divine oneness, that we're all a collective being. Yeah, we might live in our own homes and we might live our own lives, but we are connected. And when you think you aren't connected, when you think you're separate, you actually suffer. So the first law is the divine law of oneness. The second law, the law of vibration. I love this one. Everything in the universe moves, vibrates, and travels in circular patterns. Now, this is scientific. It's the law or the principle of vibration in our physical world. When you're feeling grounded and peaceful, you'll notice that often other people are too. It's like putting on your oxygen mask. When you get grounded and peaceful and centered, then everyone around you does as well. It's about our vibration, our energy. Once again, the connection to others ripples outward, and then they show up in front of us, reflections of our own selves. Our vibration is very resonant with the people's vibration around us. When you elevate your vibration, you will notice that you will attract that same vibration, the law of vibration. The third law, the law of correspondence. I learned this from my master teacher in A Course in Miracles. As above, so below. As below, so above. What this really means is that whatever we see before us is within us. When our inner world is chaotic or cluttered, it can often be representative in our house, in our lives around us. It's just a reflection of our inner world. I love the analogy of the tree. You know, you have the tree trunk, and then you have the branches, and then you have the leaves. So it's quite significantly high above the ground. Well, it's actually mirrored under the earth. The root system is a mirror to above the ground. It's as big, it's heavy, it's as full as the tree above the ground. And that's the law of correspondence. What is outside of me is actually a reflection of what's inside of me. I find this is so true. When I feel my life getting chaotic or busy or unsettled or unhappy, whatever it is, it's an inside job. I turn inward and work there. And then everything outside, it's the ripple, seems to follow suit, and I can correct it. Now, the fourth law, the law of attraction. Like attracts like. By focusing on positive thoughts, feelings, and sensations, positive thoughts, feelings, and sensations return to us. It's like a boomerang, right? Whatever you put out comes back to you. Now, this one often is misunderstood. It's not about pretending life is always good. It's about noticing what we're feeding with our attention. Are we planting seeds of faith or seeds of fear? The law of attraction. We attract what we're thinking of. It's based on manifesting. And I love what Dr. Wayne Dyer says. He says, always live as if your dreams have already been answered. If you say, I am, and you pick this grandiose notion, and you're not even living from it, the universe hears not your words, but it hears your vibration. And so, whatever we are thinking and believing is what we're attracting, it's not what we're saying. The fifth law, the law of inspired action. We really want to engage in actions that support our thoughts, dreams, emotions, and words. I can dream about peace all day, but if I don't make time to sit and find stillness and find peace within, it's not going to happen. The law reminds us to move with intention, to move from inspired action, to really believe it and engage in it. And you'll notice that a lot of these laws have similarities because it's all one. It's like a package. It comes all together. There's separate pieces, but they all support each other. The sixth law, the law of perpetual transmutation of energy. You know, this one is interesting because all people have the power to change the conditions of their lives. I know you may not feel it, and it may not be happening in this exact moment, but when we are vibrating at a higher level of vibration, of energy, than the lower ones, we can change our world around us. Understanding the universal laws and applying these principles in such a way to affect change. So I will give you an example. When you are walking in nature, how do you feel? Do you connect with your breath? Do you feel the earth beneath you? Well, we receive that energy. We receive that energy from the universal law of perpetual transmutation of energy. It's feeling, giving, and receiving. We are not stuck. Energy can shift. We can shift the energy within us, and it can transmute. We have the power to change our circumstances. And one of the best ways to do this is with a state of gratitude. If you're feeling really low and depressed, and this is a technique that I use, I'll stop and I think, oh, okay, I'm going down that dark tunnel. I don't want to do that. Let's shift. I'm going to think of three things I'm grateful for. And I kind of baby step myself towards shifting my energy, transmuting the energy into more positivity, into more light. Number seven, the law of cause and effect. Every action has a reaction or consequence. We reap what we sow. You know that saying, which I don't really love. We reap what we sow, but what we send out comes back to us. There is a cause and effect of everything that you do. And sometimes those are really super hard lessons, let me tell you. But I've really come to know, believe, and witness in my own life that what I do has a consequence. As a school teacher, I tried to even show this in my students. And we can't save everybody. If somebody makes a really detrimental error, there's going to be an effect. If we try to save the person, we're actually going against this law, the law of cause and effect. We're trying to manipulate the universal laws. We're trying to manipulate spirit or source or the universe. And really, it's not our journey, it's other people's journey. And whatever happens, whatever we're doing or other people are doing, it has an effect. And it's not always instant. It can take a while, but I do believe it unfolds and life listens. When you are kind, when you share a kind word, you are planting a seed and that returns back to you. Number eight, the law of compensation. I believe that the universe, it wasn't a Gabrielle Bernstein. Said the universe has our back. I do. I believe it. I believe the universe wants what's good for us, wants what's good for everybody, wants us to feel blessed, abundant, to feel joy. The law of compensation isn't just about money. Sometimes it's a moment of deep connection, an unexpected act of grace, or quiet inner knowing that you are on the right path. The universe finds its way to share abundance with you when you open yourself up to it. If you have this victim mentality, then you are not welcoming this law of abundance, of compensation, of wanting just extra goodness come to you. Number nine, the law of relativity. This is not easy. And you may not even believe in this, but if you believe that we come into this lifetime with lessons that we need to learn, this is the law. This is what it's about. It's that we're getting tested. And it's like what I said before, what we repeat, what we don't repair. And it first comes in a whisper, and then it gets stronger. And if we're not listening, it gets stronger and stronger until it almost has to hit us on the head for us to pay attention. So challenges are very brutal. They're very hard. They're not easy. No one wants them. No one wishes for them. But they aren't punishments. They are invitations. And if we can meet them with a deeper sense of knowing, attention, intention, and I would add compassion, then we can move beyond them and maybe heal what keeps on circling up in our life. Right? The law of relativity. It's that a series of problems keep on coming to us and strengthening in intensity until we deal with them. It's not easy. We're always pushing away uncomfortable, but the invitation here is to notice it, be with it, and move beyond it if it's available to you. Number 10, the law of polarity. Light, dark, love, fear, happy, sad. Everything has an opposite. We wouldn't even know joy unless we knew sadness or suffering. It's only in the polarity that we really understand the grandiose of that state. You know, if you are in the depths of despair or a negative feeling, and then you come out of it, wow, it is so bright on the other side. And it's so bright on the other side because you saw the darkness. It's like if I live in Canada in the Northern Hemisphere, our winters are quite intense. I am so grateful, so thrilled, and so happy for spring and summer because I know the cold. I know what it feels like. So the law of polarity is that there's always an opposite. And where we put our focus in grows. Where attention goes, energy flows. I always say, if I'm guiding movement through yoga, where attention goes, energy flows, even in your mindset. Number 11, the law of rhythm. Everything vibrates and moves to certain rhythms, right? All we have to do is pay attention to the natural world, our earth. There's seasons, there's cycles, there's moon cycles, there's the sun, there's sunset, sunrise. Everything has a rhythm. Each cycle represents the universe, and the universe knows. There's wisdom to be found in the cycle of the earth, and if we honor that, then we can find and fall into that wisdom and that grace that nature puts forward before us. And we can follow through it with a rhythm that is sacred and true, better than we could ever figure out. And the last law, number 12, the law of gender. Now, this doesn't mean girl and boy, right? It's much broader. It means masculine, the yang, and feminine, the yin, right? It's having those energies, the masculine and the feminine. And as spiritual beings, we balance the masculine and feminine energies within ourselves to become whole. We have that yin and the yang, doing and the being, the structure and the flow. We need both. Both are divine. And when they're in balance, we feel connected, we feel whole, and we feel grounded. Those are the basic of the 12 universal laws. Some may resonate deeper with you than others, but I'm sure you were nodding your head. Yeah, that one kind of feel, I can see that, or maybe not so much the other. You don't have to believe everything that's out there, but just pondering it, just opening our perspective in mindfulness is called the beginner's mind. Just looking at it with new eyes can give us a different perspective, and know that that different perspective can be a guide as we move forward and as we navigate through our life. Because once again, we are the ripple. What we do has an effect. And what we vibrate at, and how we think, and how we behave. I often also say that even what you say in your mind can have an effect. You don't even have to say it out loud for it to ripple. The universe hears our vibration, not our audible words. I hope you found this helpful. Really pay attention to how you're living, your thoughts, your feelings, your reactions, your words. Being more mindful can create a beautiful ripple outward. And we could all probably agree that our world could use more conscientious and thoughtful actions that reflect more loving and kind thoughts. So, from my heart to yours, namaste, my dear friends. Thank you so much for listening to A Call for Love. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share it with someone who could use a little extra loving kindness today. And for more resources and insights, visit my website at globalwellnesseducation.com and follow me on Instagram at Linda Orsini Wellness. Remember, all love flows from self-love. Until next time, may you feel connected to the deep source of love within you.